Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, August 22nd, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 23, the second paragraph, "Once in a while he may tell the truth," ending, "But they often suspect they are down for the count." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Terry H. Reader of the text will be Leslie M., Denise G. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Stephanie L. The reference number for Sunday, August 21st, is 19,316. That's 19316. And for this morning, Monday, August 22nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,317. That's 19317. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. I always say good morning, world, because we are the world on this line. Dawn, thank you for your service. And I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Let's have a good meeting. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you, Sardon, for your service. This is Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for an OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA members as a whole. 5, each group has the one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lead the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, our Overeaters Anonymous to remain forever non-professional, but on service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous that has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name, ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 23, the second paragraph, "Once in a while he may tell the truth," ending, "but they often suspect they are down for the count." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Leslie M. to read and share with us.
Good morning, Dawn B. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And this paragraph, I just find it so true. And you know, I have to share my truth. And that's that I've been around in OA for a long time. And for the first 28 years, I thought I was supposed to be doing, that I had to figure it out. And that was it. My mind wanted to find a reason for behavior that I was showing. And the fact is, bottom line, there was no, you know, the reason is because I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, you know. But I was, but I didn't know that. I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but I still continued to think there was something else I was supposed to be doing about it, you know. And the thing was, is that when I finally got down to the bottom line and said, there's nothing that I can do about it, that was my final surrender. But until I got to that point, I just continued to find excuses after excuses after excuses. Oh, I had a good day. Oh, I had a bad day. Oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. So I continued to blame everything else in my life for the reasons that I was eating. And finally, when I surrendered, I no longer look to blame anyone, myself included. I just know that I have this disease, which I didn't give myself, and I can't remove it. You know, so I finally got to that state where I could be powerless. But along the way, as I said, for me, 28 years, you know, I kept trying to find excuses and excuses, something that even, it didn't even matter if it sounded plausible to someone else. I was trying to figure it out in my own head, you know, because that was one of my best attributes was I'm a good thinker. I'm a smart person. I can figure this out. However, you know, this is beyond my pay grade. And I have to remember that I can do God's work, but I can't do God's job. And that God's job is removing unable. I just kept hitting it harder and stronger and faster, and I thought that was going to work. And that included all these excuses that I gave. And after a while, you know, I didn't give any excuses. I just didn't talk about it because I couldn't figure it out either, and I didn't want anyone to know that I didn't. There was something I didn't know. And so I'm grateful that, you know, that I became a baffled lot and in that process came to the surrender where I knew that I was powerless over the food and that the only way out of this was a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie M., for getting us started. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 23, the second paragraph, once in a while he may tell the truth, reading through that whole paragraph? So who would like to share in that paragraph, please?
Kara L.
Kara L. Kaya
Noel
P. Noel E. Was that a Dina?
Yes.
Dina B. Okay, I have Kara L., Kaya P., Noel E., and Dina B. Who did I miss? Okay, let's start with those four. Kara L., please get us started, followed by Kaya P.
Excuse me, what was the paragraph?
We're on page 23, the second paragraph. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. Starting there, reading through that whole paragraph.
Thank you.
Kara
Good
L.,
morning.
Please get us started. There we go.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service today, and thank you for everybody else doing service in the meeting. I am Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This paragraph describes me. You know, once in a while, you know, I'm always to the best of my belly telling the truth. I really had no idea why I would start compulsively eating again. I wanted to have reasons. I wanted to figure it out. But most of the time, I just had no idea. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I could stop the compulsive eating for a very, very short time, but other times I just couldn't. And I couldn't figure it out, but there was that obsession that it talks about that I would someday I would figure it out and I would know the perfect food plan and I would know the perfect, you know, the perfect reason why I was eating and I could figure it out. And it wasn't even a hope. It was a imperative that I figured it out, that I was my worthiness was on figuring this problem out. And it wasn't until I got to the point that I realized that I cannot lead myself, figure myself out into a solution. I had to have something had to change, and it wasn't something that I could conceive of. I just had to let go and make an appeal. And that was my higher power. It was making an appeal to my higher power and working the steps and doing what I could to unblock myself so I could just make that appeal and follow where it took me. And today, you know, with everything in my life, I realize I want to lead and charge in and fix and do because I think that's what I need to do. And when I take the step back and I say, please give me the intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, and I will follow you into the solution. That's when things get easy. And how do I get to that point? Well, I have to work these steps every day. I have to be in a state that I'm ready to ask for that help and go where it leads me. And I'm so grateful for that today. And I will pass. Thank you for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Kaya P., please share, followed by Noelle E., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, everybody. This is Kaya P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, and I live in Denver, Colorado. I'm really grateful to be here this morning. And before I share my thoughts, I just want to welcome anyone who's new or coming back to OA. There really is a solution, which is the name of the chapter that we're in. What I've come to realize is, you know, the operative word in that paragraph is he doesn't understand why. And what I've learned is that the question is not why. Why is actually a very immature question. Why? Right, why? It doesn't matter. It's what. What am I going to do? What? This is the situation. So what am I going to do? And we have a proven method. This book was written down after they figured out the proven method. And it was proved that 100 people had recovered from a seemingly state of hopeless state of mind and body. And they recovered. And so then they wrote this book so that it could be disseminated all over the world so that people could also get help. So, you know, I was on the phone with a sponsee yesterday, and often it comes up. It's like, well, why is this or why is that? And we always end up coming up with, it doesn't really matter why. It does not matter why, you know. And was I born with it? Was it because of circumstances? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is where I am. And that has actually helped me. You know, I've said for years, like, the 12 steps won't always be the solution. They'll be the solution for compulsive overeating. It won't always be, the 12 steps is not always enough. Working the 12 steps is not going to help me if I have a medical condition or if I have outside issues from, you know, trauma and things like that. But it'll lead me. It'll give me the ability to go get the help that I need. And so it's been a very good outline for just life, right? That, okay, here's where we are. Doesn't matter why. It's been great for parenting. Okay, why you got here. It's good to reflect. Good to reflect. We reflect, but we have to look forward. And that's why, you know, the rear view mirror is so much smaller than the windshield, because I have to just keep moving forward. And it's good to reflect why. Sometimes, you know, if somebody is struggling, okay, what's been going on? How's my prayer and meditation? Have I been honest? Have I been cleaning up, you know, resentments as they come along? Okay, where was the hole? Sometimes we can't find the hole. And again, doesn't matter why, what? What am I going to do? And so I just keep doing, or it could be that I need to do some new disciplines around my program. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Haya P. from Colorado. Noelle E., please share with us, followed by Dina B.
Good morning, E. Gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. Thank you, everybody who did service on this line. Thank you so much for the previous shares. This paragraph is so good. And the part that's standing out to me is, once in a while, he may tell the truth. Oof. It's like, once in a while. And that was the case for me. And really, I was only able to do it once in a while because I was so busy covering up previous untruths. You know, like, that was my existence, was what narrative am I keeping up with? Because there's required so much shape-shifting in order to maintain my addiction. And it's making me think, like the previous share was saying, like, once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. it's really making me think of the doctor's opinion, because the doctor's opinion doesn't say why. The doctor's opinion says what? And it's doctors saying, we still don't know why, but here's what we are seeing and what can be done, you know, like, and that is just like, that's the place that God has me right now, is like not trying to understand the why. It's just saying what, and my disease is taking a new, found a new way in, guys, in, you know, in abstinent behavior, quote unquote, or an abstinent food. And it's just like, I don't need to know why, even if I was to inventory it. I'm not doing that for the answer. I'm doing it to stay even more connected to my higher power. I'm doing it for even greater conscious contact to see what God reveals, not to, you know, not to know anymore, just to be led in whatever their next right thing is. So, yes, thank you so much, and everybody have a beautiful day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Dina B., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Dina B. I'm a compulsive eater in New Hampshire. I wanted to share on the sentence that said, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. They are a baffled lot. Many times I've been baffled as to why I ate compulsively again. I didn't know I was at the mercy of an allergy. My hands would turn the wheel of the car into the parking lot of the grocery store while I was saying out loud, I don't want to do this, over and over. I was helpless by this foreign inner drive to get my food. I was frustrated at the dichotomy. Where was my determination to do better? I thank God in the 12 steps that I have been delivered from this reoccurring nightmare for almost 9 years now. Today I eat my planned healthy food, exercise, and I'm working the steps again with my sponsor. I have a personal relationship with God, and I am a stable person. Thank you to Team Monday, and thank you for allowing me to share today. That's it. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina B. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are on page 23, the second paragraph. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, reading through that whole paragraph, ending with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who hasn't shared in a while and would like to share today?
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N.
Yvonne A.
Kathleen W.
A. Mary C.
Yvonne A. Kathleen W.
Raven A.
Raven A.
Mary C.
Mary C. Okay, I have Lorraine N., Yvonne A., Kathleen W., Raven A., Mary C. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Lorraine N. And Deborah G. Lorraine N., please get us started.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Yep, great paragraph. It's me too. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. Well, you know, before I got here, I didn't know the truth from the false. And I didn't even know what that sentence meant in this book. I thought, of course, I know what's true and what's false. Well, not in regard to my disorder, my disease. And I had no more idea why I took that first bite. I just was drawn to it with every fiber of my being. And I had to eat it. And I just thought I was what my mother used to yell at me, a big, fat, lazy slob. I didn't understand. I just thought I was a glutton who loved to eat. So it was a huge relief, to say the least, to find out that I had a disease and I I didn't cause it. I don't know why I have it, but I've had it from the day I was born, and I will take it to my grave. And one day at a time, the solution to my disease is in this book. This is where I found my recovery, the steps in this big book. And my real malady was a soul sickness, which I didn't know either until I started going deeper and deeper into this book. So anyway, and also the obsession, it says here that somehow, someday I'll beat the game. Boy, that was another obsession, as bad as the food. I kept thinking I could do this. Well, I had to be down for the count. And I'll never forget that final major binge where I was in my bed crying in the dark and still stuffing food in. I had been binging all night and I still was eating because I couldn't not eat it. And so I surrendered. I just knew that without help, I could not fight this thing anymore. And it was a fight for 68 years. So I'm happy to tell you that it works if you work it. And my life is so different today. And yeah, stuff comes up all the time. I spend a lot of time, I always say, in step 6 and 7, dealing with my character defects. But I have a way to deal with them now. I have this program. And, you know, I know there's newcomers out there. I know there's people face down in the food. And just don't leave. Don't leave. Keep listening. Keep coming back. And thank you for the opportunity to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorene N. from Oregon. Yvonne A., please share with us, followed by Kathleen W. Press star 1, Yvonne. Okay, perhaps she had to step away. Kathleen W., please share with us.
Good morning, family. You hear me?
Yes.
This is Kathleen W. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Illinois. And I love this paragraph. It's because I can relate so much to it. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth is I do not know why I behaved the way I did around food. I did not understand even that I had some kind of you know, I didn't understand my relationship with food. I just knew it was weird, and that's the only way I can identify it, but I did not know the truth from the false for so many years. Even in the program, it was a progressive enlightenment that I experienced. It was as I walked in this program, as I went to the meetings, as I spoke with my sponsor, as I tried to tell the truth. The truth-telling was the hardest thing. I had no idea how untruthful I was around food until at some point earlier in my program, I got a food sponsor, and he said, all you have to do is, you know, tell the truth about the food, you know, write it in every day. And I thought, oh, that's a piece of cake. And you know what? I had the darndest time telling the truth. That's when it came up that, you know, I was so dishonest. My dishonesty came up just in that exercise. And I found that it wasn't really about me sending in my food every day. It was about me identifying the dishonesty all around the food. And, you know, I've had it for many, many years. And I still wonder, am I really being honest about my food? I have tremendous recovery. I have great abstinence that I've never had before in my life. But I still am saying, you know, God, do I know the truth? And I have to keep, you know, talking to my sponsor. I have to keep saying what I'm feeling in order to find that. And you know, I have people to help me with that. But also I have this obsession that somehow, and boy, did I have that, somehow I will beat the game. I'll eat this way. I'll eat that way. And, you know, I'm going to beat this thing. Well, I never did beat it. As I got older, even in the program, I became progressively heavier. But it wasn't until I came into OA and stayed in 2010 that I began to see the truth and start to recover. And it wasn't suddenly. It was taking years. And in 2020, I had a new experience and an open mind so that my abstinence became cleaner, more truthful, and I'm so grateful. I have a different life, you know, a wonderful life. So grateful for all of you also, and I'll close with that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Raven A., please share with us, followed by Mary C.
Hi, I'm Raven, and I'm a recovered sugar addict and nighttime binge eater. And I really like this paragraph. I could identify with it a lot. The whole question of why. I used to ask that as well, and I realized at a certain point that my asking why was really all motivated by my disease, because I figured if I could figure out the reason why I ate the way I did, then I could fix it, and then I could eat what I wanted to eat again, you know? So it was all just, you know, an attempt to be able to figure out a way to successfully eat the things that I wanted to eat. And then also, someone said at a meeting recently that why isn't really like a spiritual question. Like, I can ask why about many aspects of my life. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And that just is me being out of acceptance about what is. You know, I'm just not accepting what is if I'm asking why. So I really have to work so hard to pray for acceptance and gratitude and to be pointed in the direction of the solution, rather than to stay in my disease, of just, you know, always trying to get out of where I am. Instead of just being where I am with my feelings and acceptance with what's happening right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Raven A. Mary C., please share with us, followed by Deborah G., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Mary C., compulsive overeater from Ohio. Good morning, everyone. And I've been in OA 3 months now, and this paragraph really says a lot for me. I always thought it was me. It was up to me. It was my willpower. And at times I have great willpower and can stop eating or not eat at all. So I really thought it was up to me. And it is really, for me, it's almost a relief to understand this, but in their hearts, they really don't know why they do it. And I don't know why. And I realize now I'm just getting it, that it is an obsession of the mind. Because at times I still think, I know I can do this. And that is still crazy thinking. And I have not binged in 3 months, which is probably, well, it is a miracle. And is my absence not been perfect, but I've been very honest with my sponsor, and she's really, it really helped me a lot. And I finally have, I got a dietitian. So I finally have a food plan. I just got my food plan, and she's going to give me my final food plan today because she's revised it. So with that, I am very happy and excited about that. And I guess the really where it's all about is really is surrendering and turning everything over to God and sticking to my food plan. And I know putting myself in God's hands that I can do it in God, with God and only with God. So with this, I thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary C. from Ohio. And just to let you know, we're on page 23, the second paragraph. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. So So now we'll hear from Deborah G., and then I'll ask if Yvonne A. is still on the line, and then I'm going to open up the lines to take a couple more names. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Dawn, so much for your service this morning and everyone's service in making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line. And I remember that thinking I could beat the game, you know, and thinking that it was like this delusional dishonesty that I was thinking, you know, that this time it's going to be different, or I can figure this out. And I really wanted to do the whatever it was, you know, the substance that I couldn't do, but I really wanted to do it. And I truly believed that I could. It was insanity. And it wasn't until I kept questioning it, you know, of course, why, but it's still that insanity. And I didn't see the truth. I didn't awake. I didn't become conscious until I truly went through the steps and did that first step in a place of honesty, writing on the principle of honesty. And that's how I got saturated in honesty with that first step experience, because of all the head stuff, the mental obsession, the back and forth, because the insanity was so thick. You know, it was like a blanket over the truth. And I am so grateful today to have been awakened by going through those beautiful 12 steps and continuing to go through them and live them as a way of living. And there's hope out there for newcomers, and you can get free of that insanity. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Is Yvonne A. back on the line and able to share? Okay. Let's go ahead then. I'm going to be taking a couple more names for those of you who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Lisa.
I heard Lisa B.
Alexa F.
And was that Yvonne A. I heard again?
Yes, it was. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so Yvonne A. So I have Lisa
Alexa
B. I have Lisa B., Yvonne A., and there was another name before Alexis. I'm sorry.
Ann
S., that was it. Sorry about that, Alexis. If we have time, we'll take you. Okay, so Lisa B., Yvonne A., Ann S., and if we have time for Alexis. So go ahead and share, Lisa B. Thank you.
Hi, yes, this is Lisa B. I have never shared on a Vision for You meeting ever, so it's exciting and scary at the same time. So this past week, my mom was visiting me, and we had a very nice week. I was asking God for help to remove my resentments. I was doing my 10 steps, turnarounds, in the moment, some spot check inventory. And I'm 46 years old, so I have a long history with my mother, 46 years to be exact. And there is resentment there. There is stuff that's deep there, and I'm working on my fourth step right now. And over the weekend, something triggered my thinking, and something happened with my son, and I got resentful towards my husband. And it's like, if I know, and this is, it's baffling, if I know how dangerous for me and how awful resentments are, why do I do them? Why do I hold on to them? Because I don't know, because I am powerless over this disease. Like, this goes way back. And the reason I wanted to share this morning, because it was, I'm just in it. I'm like baffled. I'm like, resentment is my number one offender. It is going to kill me and cut me off from God. If I hold on to it, I'm going to go back to the food. I'm going to go back and I'm going to die. And I don't want any of those things. And I don't want to feel it. Negativity towards my mother. I want to have that peaceful, happy time with her. So why would I do it? doesn't make any sense. I'm baffled. You know, so I just wanted to share that because I'm like, oh, and then of course I get resentful that I got resentful. Like there's no winning. I did a 10 step a little bit with my sponsor and she's like, this is old stuff. It's not going to be deleted, gone overnight. And that helps me to remember that. I don't have to beat myself up over them either. What can I do? Maybe next time I can do my 10 step a little quicker. It's baffling. The why would I do that? Why would I do that? Knowing what happens, like knowing that every time what happens, it's like a ruined day or a ruined moment, a ruined thought or a ruined feeling. But it does it anyway, because I'm powerless and because I need God's help. I need this program. I need to work all of it. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa B. Yvonne A., please share with us, followed by Ann S.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good morning. This is Yvonne A., extremely technically challenged in Canada today. I just wanted to speak up today and say that, you know, I struggled with food, compulsive food behaviors for years. It never occurred to me that I had an allergy or a spiritual malady, and I certainly never thought that a higher power was going to be the answer to weight loss. That just never one time in all of those years occurred to me. So I am so grateful today to have the blessing of this program. Now that I know that I have this allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, spiritual malady, I'm getting tools through this program that are absolutely miraculous. And with the program and my higher power, things are happening that I had pretty much given up hope on. It was an endless cycle of, yes, we'll try one more thing, and then just throwing in the towel completely and saying, forget, don't even fight it. It's not even possible to fight. And now my abstinence is not a fight. It's just unbelievably miraculous for me to be able to say that. So I just wanted to share that this morning and say thank you to all of you who have been there for phone calls and just your shares and everything. This program has been an absolute blessing in my life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from Canada. Ann S., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Ann S. I am a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. Thank you, everyone, for your shares today and for the service to this meeting. What really struck me this morning was that there's a couple of last lines. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. They're often suspect that they're down for the count, but they often suspect they're down for the count. And I was thinking, yes, you know, that obsession that someday, somehow, I will beat this. And I tried to prove that to myself time and time again. Time and time again, I think, this time, I'm just going to have one. This time, it was always this time, this and just one. And it never, ever, ever, ever. I am a real food addict, a real compulsive overeater, and I just could not stop once I pick up that first bite. So then they, you know, I was always, I would never, ever beat, I'm never, ever going to beat this game, ever, and never, ever. And then I would always get back into that boxing ring. It's a suspect that they are down for the count. I'd get back into that boxing ring and I'd get beat up pretty bad. It was nothing pretty about it. I would not come out looking good. I got beat up every time I got back into that boxing ring. And I would forget that pain and humiliation. But yet I kept going back in and I kept getting deeper and deeper into the disease, you know, in that dark pit. You know, so now I am so grateful that I'm not there today. I am very grateful that I choose not to get back into that boxing ring, that I choose to work the program, I choose to come to meetings, you know, I choose to eat my food, it's on my food plan, nothing more, nothing less, and that, you know, I choose to work with my sponsor and follow directions, you know, and I'm really grateful that I follow the directions that are in this big book. So grateful for this program today and to be here and to hear the shares and to get to share a little bit about where I'm at today And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne S. from Pennsylvania. And we have time. Alexis F., would you please share with us?
Yes, thank you for your service and to Team Monday also. This is Alexis F. in New Jersey. And when my daughter first started kindergarten, she hadn't been around many children because there weren't that many children her age in the neighborhood. And she said, wow, there's little people just like me. And that's how I felt when I came into OA for the first time. Wow, there's people just like me who, you know, eat the bottom of the ice cream when they go babysitting so that nobody knows that they've eaten it and just can't get enough of it. And the first time I was absent and I smoked, I chewed 15 packs of gum in a week, sugar-free gum. I didn't realize how much of a compulsive overeater I was and how just having three meals a day would limit these binges that or the grazing that I was doing. My last binge was on my daughter's birthday, and two birthdays ago. And I ordered a cake that I liked. And while they were having it, I thought, well, I'll just have one piece of it. And I can do that, and then we'll throw the rest in the garbage. Well, I couldn't stop. And the next day, I wanted more of it and more of it. And this went on for a month, and I couldn't stop binging. And then I said, no more of this. God, please help me. I can't stop myself. I think I gained 9 pounds that month in 1 month just from the cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. And that's what it is. But I'd like to tell the newcomers that I was born with a nervous predisposition. I was born with a compulsion to put things in my mouth, like cigarettes and alcohol. I was born a compulsive overeater. If I can do it, put down the cigarettes, the alcohol, and the food, and not have any attraction to it or be neutral to it, then they can too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexis F. from New Jersey, and to everyone who shared. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Denise G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Denise G. from Northern California. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join Him. He shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.